Memorial Day. What a wonderful day just to remember. I think it's important that we get together and remember. Because what does memorial mean? Something designed to preserve the memory of a person. That's what memorial is. Something designed to preserve the memory of a person. So Memorial Day is set apart for observances in memory of dead soldiers. And I also would like to put in there those missing in action that we somehow forget about. Military personnel who fought for our freedoms. I hope you appreciated the little video we showed you this morning. I think it was powerful. It is, in a way, an odd thing to honor those who died in defense of our country, in wars far away. The imagination plays a trick. We see these soldiers in our mind as old and wise. We see them as something like the founding fathers, grave and gray-haired. But most of them were boys when they died. They gave up two lives, the one they were living and the one they would have lived. When they died, they gave up their chance to be husbands and fathers and grandfathers. They gave up their chance to be revered old men. They gave up everything for their country, for us. All we can do is remember, says Ronald Reagan, one more time. We just need to remember. Someone has said, to be born free is a privilege. To die free is an awesome responsibility. Yet freedom is never free. It is always purchased at a great cost. Little did John Adams know how significant his words would be when he spoke to his wife Abigail on the passing of the Declaration of Independence and said, I am well aware of the toil, the blood, the treasure that it will cost to maintain this declaration and support and defend these states. Yet, through all the gloom, I can see the rays of light and glory. I can see that the end is worth more than all the means. To these who sacrificed for our freedom, the end was worth the painful means. Where would we, ladies and gentlemen, this morning be, who are citizens of this United States of America? Where would we be today if there had not been those who counted the cost of freedom and willingly paid for it? But may I ask you another question? Where will we be tomorrow if men and women of integrity do not come forward today and pay the price to reclaim a dying America? John Quincy Adams said, posterity, you will never know how much it has cost my generation to preserve your freedom. I hope you will make good use of it. Abraham Lincoln said, from these honored dead, we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain. Memorial Day is a sacred day to all war veterans. Why remember? Why do we need to remember, preacher? Somebody give us some insight. Because sacrifice is meaningless without remembering. Roman numeral number 2 in my notes. Who are remembering? Who are we remembering? We are remembering the nation. The nation mourns the loss of all Americans, those who've died and those who are still missing in action. defending this great country throughout the world since 1775. What are we remembering? America is remembering those who made the greatest sacrifice possible, giving one's own life selflessly. How do we remember? Pausing for a few moments of prayer is a good way. Attending memorial services or parades. Placing flags at grave sites. Attending patriotic services. When do we remember? The last Monday of May of each year, we remember about these fallen ones. But let's stop here for just a moment. Because I'm afraid we in the United States today have forgotten what God has done for us. Now we're trying to remember our great country, but I think we have forgotten what God has done. Go with me now, if you will, please, back to Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse number 15 in your word, please. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Remember, he said. But the generation that Joshua led into the promised land, as you know, soon forgot. Forgot this admonition. And so then we find in Judges chapter 2, would you go there please? Judges chapter 2, verse 10. And Don, I want to go 10, 11, 12, 13, I believe. But let's just look at verse 10 right now. And also, all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord. If there's anything that bothers me, it's that in our own country, we're not only forgetting the soldiers who gave their life and forgetting our heritage, but we're so much forgetting about our God. And there have been generations of godly men who led us, who knew God, but anymore, it's getting weaker and weaker. And God has forgotten. But there was a generation that grew up after them that knew not the Lord. God help us not to have that. Nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. So oftentimes I hear, well, what has God done for me lately? Are you kidding me? He let you get up this morning. He allowed you to breathe this morning. And without God, every single one of us would be finding ourselves in hell. Because all that we deserve, everybody, is hell. Even our righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags before the Lord. Let's go down to verse 11. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. Verse 12. And they forsook the law, the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt and followed after other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them and bowed themselves unto them and provoked the Lord to anger. Verse 13. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. We read over and over again after the death of Joshua that these folks just simply forgot all about God. I'm concerned about our own country. I'm afraid that we are in the United States today have forgotten what God did for us. Forgotten the most sacred and most important tree. The tree of Calvary. The cross of Jesus Christ. Because of what the Lord Jesus accomplished by his death on the tree, the curse of the law has been removed. Let's not forget it. Go with me to Galatians chapter number 3 and verse 13. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us. Everybody, you need to see this verse. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. We must not forget that admonition. And we must remember that Jesus Christ paid the price on the cross of Calvary for every single one of us. And we must not forget. When we believe on Him, we are freed from the curse of sin and the curse of the law. When we receive Him as our Savior, God forgives us. He accepts us into His family and gives us eternal life on the basis of what Christ has accomplished on the cross of Calvary. We must not forget that powerful truth. As we are remembering today, let's not forget the cross, the old rugged cross. It is where our Savior bled and died, where sin's awfulness was revealed, where sin's curse was removed, where sin's penalty was destroyed, and where sin's power was literally broken forever. Listen, sin's power has been broken forever. Where did it happen, preacher? At the cross. At the cross, where my Savior died. Excuse me for getting excited. But ladies and gentlemen, it is a powerful, wonderful truth. Jesus died to set us free. Let us not forget. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 8 tells us the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. Let me just remind you about God's principles, because they never change. God's principles never change and will never fade, because God's principles are eternal. This is true of His character as well, which means He is our God. Let me remind you, our God is consistent. Our God is trustworthy. Our God is committed to providing the very best for every single one of us called His children. Regardless of how our circumstances may look, God has everything under control, and everything around us may seem to be falling apart, yet God is still moving and working, and His purposes, ladies and gentlemen, will always, always, always be accomplished. Time has no effect upon God, nor upon how He makes His plans and decisions. Nothing that happens in our lives or in the world will ever surprise God or interrupt what He is achieving for us. This is why we can always count on Him being true to all of His promises. He's made promises to us, and we can understand this morning that they are true and always will be. Therefore, let's take a little time this morning, and I want to give you some things just to reflect on about His faithfulness, and for us just to remember. Letter A. There are some scriptural principles I want to give you this morning. Knowing it is true. Knowing it is true. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23 reveal something about my God. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Do you see that? You need to remember, it's because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because His compassions fail not. Verse 23. They are new every morning. Let me remind you, great is the faithfulness of Almighty God. Great is the faithfulness of Almighty God. Somebody ought to be waving a flag right there. Say, hey, preacher, I'm with you. Great is the faithfulness of Almighty God. What a God we serve. That's letter A. By the way, go with me to Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 8. How can we confirm that this is a fact indeed? And how can we confirm that it is true? We can absolutely be certain about God's faithfulness because of how He acted. I know all about God's faithfulness because of how He acted in the past. Now listen, you know about God's faithfulness because of how God acted in history. Now if He acted, Brother Kenny, a certain way in history, He's going to act the same way today. You say, preacher, how in the world did you get that? Because the Bible says in Hebrews 13, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so however He acted in the past, and as you read it, you say, woo, isn't that wonderful what God did? Man, as you see the history book called the Bible, and you know how God reacted, you can say, blessed be God, He's the same God today because of that verse. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. Letter B, conditional versus conditional, unconditional promises. You may wonder, yes, God is faithful, but isn't the fulfillment of His promises contingent upon our obedience? At times it is. However, there are times it isn't. Many of God's promises, biblical promises, are really unconditional. It doesn't matter whether or not we obey Him. God will proceed with His plan regardless of our response. For example, of that pledge, He pledged one day to send a Savior. Did He not? And Jesus did come. Did He not? He pledged a Savior. Jesus came, and what did He do? He died for our sins. By the way, regardless of whether you thought you needed a Savior or not, was not the issue. God said, I'm sending a Savior. Whether you say, well, I need Him or you don't. Listen, He said, I'm sending the Savior. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. He came just the same. Say, well, if I don't believe it, He won't come. No, He's already come. And there's a lot of people who didn't believe it, but He's already come. But let's stop there and think about that for just a moment. On the other hand, God's conditional promises are dependent upon our submission to Him. For example, we will not actually experience salvation that Jesus offers unless we believe in Him. We must respond to Him in faith as our Savior and receive the gift of eternal life in order to enjoy it. You will never enjoy the gift of eternal life if you don't receive it. Yes, it has been provided. There's no doubt about that. But you may not get in on it unless you receive what He's done for you and you accept Him as your personal Savior. Let us see. Experiencing God's faithfulness, the reward of obedience. You will meet a Psalm 16, verse 11. God will never stop being faithful to you. Isn't that a wonderful, powerful little statement? God will never stop being faithful to you. That's powerful. However, His best blessings are reserved for those who obey Him. Psalm 16. Verse 11 says, Thou wilt show me the path of life, and Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. That's a powerful verse. What happens if God reveals the path of life to you, and you refuse to follow it, though? Here I am shown the path of life, but you refuse to follow it. What happens then? Then you will not experience His joy. Then the delights He has for you, you will not experience those things. Therefore, this is not an issue of His faithfulness, but of yours to obey. God is always faithful. But some of you may not get in on it because you just won't believe. It just won't happen. I just can't see it. I'm not going to go that way. Well, then you're not going to have the joys and the pleasures evermore. But you and I who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and we have trusted Him, now we receive the joys of the Lord and now we have pleasures evermore. Man, there's blessings everywhere because we've done in obedience what God said we ought to do. Amen. Letter D. Seek God for direction. So how do we remain obedient to God in order to experience His faithfulness? Well, the first thing we must learn to do is to seek His guidance. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Now, we're talking about seeking direction. Living a godly life does not come naturally to us. Neither does trusting and submitting to God. It doesn't come natural. Yet, He will teach us how to follow Him and live a life that is pleasing to Him. He will also show us that we can always have faith in His faultless character. Letter E. Only going to G, so we're doing pretty good. Listen to God. Listen to God. Second thing you must do if you would like to experience God's faithfulness is learn to listen to God. If you never discover how to hear the voice of God, you will never be able to trust Him fully or grow from what He is doing in your life. God may direct you in ways you don't understand. However, listen to Him anyway and do as He says. Because remember what Psalm 103, verse 19 says. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. He sees the path ahead of you when you cannot see. Man, there's things that happen to us and we cannot see, and we don't understand it. What is God doing? Preacher, I don't understand what God's doing. Listen, just trust Him anyway. He knows what He's doing. I can't see it that way, but God knows. He sees a path ahead when you cannot. In His great wisdom, He is ordering your steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Just keep following God. He is ordering your steps to fulfill His purpose for your life. Therefore, listen to Him and do whatever He tells us to do. Because obedience, I'm telling you, I understand this so fully. Obedience always brings blessings. It does. Obedience always brings blessings. Wow, but preacher, I don't know. No, just obey. Because obedience always brings blessings. Always bring the blessings. What a God we serve. We're trying our best this morning to not only remember our soldiers who have fallen, but also our God who has provided for us. Letter F in my notes, watch for God's help. I like doing this myself. Sometimes God will be very specific about what He desires for you or what He will accomplish in your life. That's because the more difficult the path before you is, the more He'll have to help you. And He wants you to have faith to depend upon Him. Sometimes a path is difficult for us, but He wants you to learn to depend. Let's just use Daniel real quick. Daniel in the Old Testament experienced the lion's den. That's a perfect example of what I'm talking about. No one wants to face the lion's den. But Daniel faced the lion's den. Perfect example. Daniel's enemies had tricked King Darius, as you know, into punishing him because he worshipped his God. That was all set up. The sentence was death by lions. Yet he kept his eyes fixed upon the Lord despite his terrible circumstances, and he was saved. Because of Daniel's confidence that God would help him, even King Darius ended up praising God. Now, isn't that something? Wow. Now, this is the key to the trials you face as well. Now, listen, don't focus on your problems. Watch for God's help. Watch for God's help. Now, don't focus on your problems. Don't fix your eyes on your problems. Watch for God's help, knowing that God... Do you know this? You do know this, don't you? That God will never forsake you. Is that what His Word says? God's Word says, behold, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, you know that, so it doesn't make any difference if it's the lion's den or what it is. It doesn't make any difference. You know God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll always be right there with you. I'll help you face every obstacle that comes along with hope, perseverance. Letter G in my notes, cultivate godly thoughts. Finally, if you would like to experience God's faithfulness, I think with all of my heart, you've got to embrace this book. If you are going to to experience God's faithfulness, somehow you must embrace this word. As the children of Israel stood ready to claim the promised land, do you remember what the Lord told Joshua? Well, let's go to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7. Just remind yourself what God told them. They were standing there as they were getting ready to claim the promised land. And here's what God said. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. See, God wants His people to be successful. I honestly believe that. God gets no glory about us being poor, ragamuffin people that don't have anything. God doesn't get any glory from that. God wants us all to be successful. Prosperous, successful. But remember, He says He wants you to prosper as your soul prospers. That's very important. God wants you, His people to be successful. That's why He's always admonishing us to, and I admonish you to cling to the Scripture. In the Bible, there are timeless principles that will help us live the godly life. All the testimonies that will help you remember God's enduring faithfulness are there. Therefore, read the Bible. Read it with joy. Study it. Devour it. Eat it. Because you know what it's done for Daniel. You know what it's done for Joshua. You know what it's done for all the rest of the Bible characters. Try it yourself. He will do for you just like He did for them. Trust and obey His commands. I'm finishing up. Ladies, if you could come to musical instruments. There is no doubt that God can and will keep His promises to you because He is absolutely faithful. The only question is whether you will commit to seeking Him, listening to His commands, watching for His help, and embracing His word. That's what God wants. God wants the very best for you. He'll never lead you astray. Never. And if you stay in the center of His will, you will experience the very best that God has to offer you. I wonder if there's anybody in this building or anybody listening by radio, as we're remembering God, they would say, you know, preacher, I've not trusted Christ. I've never made a public profession of faith of the Lord Jesus. But I need to. I wonder if maybe you'd come and find a place to pray today. If you stay in the center of His will, you will, I'm telling you, experience the very best He has to offer. Will you trust Him? Will you submit to God? Leave all the details of fulfilling His promises in His capable hands. He'll do it. Don't miss out on His best blessings because of doubt. Trust Him today. Trust and obey. Trust Him now.